Good morning. I am a gratefully redeemed believer in Jesus Christ. I have victory over shame, guilt, people-pleasing, my need to be needed, the feelings of being unwanted, and many aspects of my grief. I still struggle with some of that. My name is Gail.
Gail.
Hi. I'm here today to tell you a few things about Celebrate Recovery and why I believe it is uniquely set up to help people through their hurts, habits, and hang-ups. We all have things that we carry, and sometimes we don't even know what they are until we look. First off, Celebrate Recovery is based on the very words of Jesus. When John Baker brought this idea to Rick Warren in California, he had been through a 12-step program for alcoholism. He knew that only when Jesus was his higher power, only when he surrendered to him, did he find true victory in fighting that battle. He wanted to create a program then that would unapologetically be based on the belief that victory comes only through the knowledge of knowing Jesus as your higher power. When they set this up, they used the Beatitudes, which was the very words of Jesus, the very words he preached them in the very order that he preached them. These eight principles that they established followed the 12 steps that we know, some of us may already know or have heard of. But these eight principles also had a beatitude that went with it. And every Friday night, we either quote one or the other of these two, either the eight principles or the 12 steps, and we go through them with their biblical comparison, reminding us of God's word and how much it is involved in our recovery. CR is also very forward-looking. I know sometimes we get the rap that maybe we will look back too much. And that is true. We do look back. We call it inventory at CR. But we don't look back to wallow or to moan about it. We look back to figure out what rocks may have been put in our backpacks. Because only as we find them can we give them to God. And only as we give them to God can we find healing. If we don't talk it out with God, it will come out on ourselves with our habits and hurts and hang-ups and the outward things that people see. Or it'll come out on the people around us, wounding them as well. We all have losses in our lives, so we learn to look back only to be able to allow God to heal. Not to dwell, only to heal. This is how we change our habits. You can't heal a hurt if you won't admit that it's there. We learn at CR to accept personal responsibility for our own actions as we make that clear evaluation of our lives. We also don't go back to blame anyone. We go back to recognize what hurt is causing us to act the way we do. Why do I do the things I do? And how can God keep me from doing them? At CR, we realize that we are powerless. That's one of our eight principles. That God is God. And I am not. That was a new one for me. I thought I could play God well in my life. I had to learn to surrender to God. There is a very specific spiritual commitment to Jesus Christ in the CRE program. We must learn to yield myself, and everything around me to Christ's care and control. Celebrate Recovery emphasizes growth and healing in the context of community. We were not meant to walk this walk alone. Sometimes we need people to show us the rocks we're carrying. Sometimes the backpack is so hard we can't get it off without somebody's loving help to help us. This truly is a discipleship program. We need each other. We need help lifting and removing. Sometimes we just need help. Someone to come alongside, to sit with us, to listen to us, to cry with us. Not to fix us. We don't do a lot of fixing. We let God do that. We do find forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Immediately, completely. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But forgiveness isn't all that we need. And God knows that. And that's why in James, he tells us to confess our sins one to another that you may be healed. Confession is where healing comes. Acknowledging it, stepping out of it, We don't have to confess to everyone, but CR does give you that space to do that. We're very careful about anonymity at CR. We have a saying that what you see here, who you see here, what you hear here, needs to stay here when you leave here. There's my CR people. We know that. We tend to unload, and then we let God heal and fix. Lastly, one of the reasons I believe CR is uniquely set up is that it takes the fall of man very seriously. We are all broken. Sin did that to each and every one of us because of the fall. Rick Warren has a saying that he likes to say that there are two kinds of people in the world. There are those who need recovery and know it. There are those who need recovery and don't. Because we all need recovery of some kind. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we need a Savior. And only through Jesus do we find that forgiveness and healing to be able to walk in the victory that he has for us. Today when you came in, you were given a card. These are our kind of like our little calling cards. And they kind of tell you, because sometimes, just real quick, Celebrate Recovery is not just about alcoholism or addictions, because those are outward signs of inward symptoms. Those are things that come out. Those are the ways we hurt ourselves and others around us because of things that hurt us inside. So keep this. If you come across somebody, you can pass it on. Maybe if it's for you, you can come join us at CR. So anyway, but I just wanted to allude to that. And then one of the things we do at Celebrate Recovery is we go through 25 lessons. And if you know math, there's 52 weeks in the year, so we have some extra Fridays. So we do a lesson, and then we do a testimony, and that goes back and forth every Friday. And today we are going to have a testimony, and I'm going to turn the rest of this time over to Greg as he comes and shares with us his testimony of what God has done in his life.
Thanks, Gail. Wow, when I agreed to this, I didn't realize there would be so many people here. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ who freed me from the bondage of alcohol, and I struggle with selfish pride. I'm a veteran of the U.S. Army, and Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. My name is Greg. How's everybody doing today? Good to see you all. We introduce ourselves at CR a little bit differently. We believe in CR that we are children of God first, and then we struggle with problems afterwards. So you'll hear us say, I'm a grateful believer, I'm a child of God, and I struggle with these things. So we identify in Christ first, and then we struggle with the things he helps us with. I've been involved in Celebrate Recovery for 8 years, and on February 13th, it'll be 8 years since I took my last drink. Yeah. I currently serve in the Celebrate Recovery as a ministry leader in Sheridan, but I've attended Summit Church for 10 years, and Casey and I were married here in 2017. Our very first date weekend involved coming here, and Pastor William married us. Thanks, Pastor. I'm deeply grateful to the leadership of Summit Church for their commitment, their unwavering support for the ministry of Celebrate Recovery. It's a life-changing and a life-saving ministry. And for the report, for the support I received during my battle with alcohol, I always felt loved, supported, and prayed for. Never felt judged or shamed. Knowing your church family is rooting for you really makes a big difference. And so thank you. Thank you all. Couldn't have done this without you. So this is the story of my life. Chapter 1, growing up too fast. I was born in Alamosa, Colorado in 1968. I was the baby of the family and the youngest of 10 cousins. I grew up in what looked like seemed like a normal American family in the 70s. My parents were divorced. We didn't attend church. I was exposed to drugs and alcohol, family brawls, bloody fights. I thought it was totally normal. That was at a very early age. So much of my childhood was spent alone, outdoors, playing until dark. I love catching all kinds of critters. I bring them home and scare my sisters and my mom. I didn't realize until much later that isolation was my coping mechanism for the chaos around me. But sadly later, I would come to find out that isolation without God would be my downfall. Until the age of 5, life was pretty normal for me. Then my parents told me they were getting a divorce, and my dad moved out. And my mom did the best she could raising us and working full time. Years later, I found out that the divorce was caused by my father's alcoholism and his love of partying. Those were patterns that followed him throughout his entire life. Most of it, anyway. These dysfunctional family patterns get passed down for generations, and in my case, it did. For a while, living with my mom and visiting my dad on weekends worked out. He spent time with me and taught me sports and hunting and fishing, the things a father should do, but it didn't last. Eventually, the weekends turned into no-shows. Promises were broken, trust was broken, and I retreated into isolation because no one taught me healthy ways to cope. But I spend a lot of time with my grandma on their ranch in Colburn, Colorado. They had a sheep ranch, and being the youngest cousin of 10, I tried to keep up with my cousins in every way, which led to me in elementary school drinking beer and smoking cigars. I had my first hangover by the time I was 10. We trailed the sheep from my grandparents' ranch to the grazing allotment over 3 days, and my grandma found me passed out in a ditch one morning. And that was the first time I lied about my alcohol use, but it wouldn't be the last. Alcohol was constant in my family. Didn't matter if it was a first birthday or a 90th grandma's birthday. Drinking was always present, and most of the time it was excessive. I knew and I sensed alcohol caused destruction, but it felt normal because it was consistent. As I got older, sports became my escape. Focusing on football and other sports allowed me to block out the chaos in my life. But when I was cut from my fifth grade football team, I was devastated, and I vowed I would never fail again. And that fear of failure drove me for my entire life. It pushed me to succeed, but it robbed me of peace and joy. The Lord was never spoken about with reverence in my family growing up. If something bad happened, it was his fault and he was cursed for it. But even then, God was revealing himself to me through his creation. In Romans 1:20, it tells us, "For the invisible things of him since the creation of the world are clearly seen, being perceived through the things he has made, even his everlasting power and divinity." Chapter 2, addiction takes root. By middle school, my friends and I were stealing alcohol, chewing tobacco, and smoking weed. As we moved into high school, it was more things, better, bigger, partying every weekend, and daily marijuana use. I hated school And I barely graduated. That's what happens when you don't do homework or comply with the attendance requirements. So college didn't seem like an option for me, so I decided to join the Army. Basic training was a shock. Yeah, everything I knew and was familiar with was taken away. But that's where I met God for the first time that I realized. Because on Sunday, if you don't disappear somewhere, you're on duty. And I wanted to avoid extra duties, so I went to church. I went to, a lot of times, the Protestant and the Catholic services. And that's where I first learned to sleep with my eyes open. But seeds were planted, and for the first time in my life, I learned that God was good. And that he loved me, and that salvation was available. John 3:16. So I always saw John 3:16 signs because my family was a big football family on Sundays. We didn't go to church. And I would see the John 3:16 signs in the crowd, and I never knew what that meant. And then I learned, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Serving in the Army gave me discipline and a purpose, camaraderie. But after leaving, I struggled to transition to civilian life. Going from a warrior, willing to wreak havoc, death, and destruction, to civilian life in 2 days is just a transition that is hard. And I did what a lot of veterans do. I numbed myself with alcohol and drugs. And isolation became a foxhole for me. I didn't get out for decades. After the military, I tried college. And this is where my fear of failure actually did me some good. I excelled academically, and I spent time outdoors. I felt emotionally healthy for the first time in my life. And I began to sense God's presence through his creation. Psalm 19:1 tells us, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." But that season ended my senior year when I got my girlfriend pregnant. I wasn't ready to be a father. I barely knew who I was. And I selfishly asked my girlfriend to have an abortion. But thank God she said no. That's my oldest boy, Connor. Connor's my oldest boy. And while I didn't know how to be a good father, I knew what not to be. I had enough manly figures in my life that were all about selfishness and drinking, and I didn't want to be like that. So my fear of failure returned, and control became a strategy for me. I figured if I treated everything like a military drill or a drill instructor, there is no room for failure. It was miserable, especially for the people around me. I wish I had known now then what I know now. Isaiah 41:10 tells us, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Chapter 3, Success Without Fulfillment. After college, I worked long construction hours. And then I shifted to insurance sales so I could be home with my family. But I hated insurance sales. I found out I was not a good salesman. But I refused to quit. And I started drinking daily to cope. I thought marriage might fix things, but it didn't. Getting married for the wrong reasons and not having God at the center of your relationship can lead to a long road of unhappiness. Soon after came twins. Twin daughters. I vividly remember asking God why he would do this to me. I could barely function and take care of myself, let alone a five-year-old and a wife. But Hallie and Jessica were a gift. I didn't see it at the time, but they were a gift. I soon became better at sales, mostly because it was out of selfishness. I chased success. I chased accolades. I chased money. I chased the American dream. But I felt empty. And I questioned God even as I prayed for help. Then something started happening that I thought was coincidence. People started talking about Jesus. I mean, every day, I'd turn on the radio, I'd be on a Christian station, someone walk up off the street, and I thought it was coincidence, but it turns out that that's how God works. He works through other people. And my Aunt Alice wrote me a letter, and she challenged me to give God a try and to go to church. And she challenged me to go for 6 weeks. And being the man I was, I accepted her challenge. And I did. I went to church for 6 weeks, and I rarely have missed a Sunday since. And that was Easter 2001. James 4:8 tells us, and when you draw close to God, God will draw close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and let your hearts be filled with God alone to make them pure and true to him. God gave me a peace. It was a peace I didn't understand. I had never felt a peace in my life like that. And I surrendered to him, and I was baptized in November of 2001. I was so full of shame and stress and anxiety that I gave him my stress, my anxiety, my anger, drugs, my worry about finances, and he took them from me. And I felt like a changed man. But I didn't give him everything. I told myself I didn't have a drinking problem. I was in denial. And I found out later that stepping out of denial is the most important step in recovery. We began attending church regularly, and I truly was a changed man in many ways. And life became better as I relied more and more on the Lord. I became a more tolerable man, and I vowed to God that I would honor him by staying in my marriage and instilling a love for him in my children. Because Proverbs 22:6 tells us, train up a child in the way of the Lord, in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Chapter 4, hitting bottom. But eventually, my marriage did fall apart. I was drinking nightly to numb the pain, and alcohol was always present. Normalizing and perpetuating drinking to excess and relationship dysfunction in my children is my only real regret. My drinking escalated, and I denied being an alcoholic. Even after I attended an AA meeting once, I remember running out of there as fast as I could to get away from those people who could talk so openly about their problems to strangers. As it turns out, I'm one of those people. Then my wife asked for a divorce, and everything unraveled. I lost my family, my house, my dog died, got laid off, all in 1 year. We both knew it would always end this way. We were at that point just staying together for the kids. But I gave in and relied on the Lord more than ever. And he gave me a sense of peace once again. He told me that it would be okay. But I couldn't stop drinking. I was abusing God's grace on a daily basis, asking Jesus to help me make it through the night. And he would. And then I'd do it all over the next day. In CR, we call this insanity. I was definitely in a state of insanity. Chapter 4, The Mighty Casey. Then he brought Casey into my life. I thought it was a miracle. We met online and we fell in love. There's a rumor going around in Sheridan that she met me on sugardaddy.com. That is definitely a rumor. I was living in a camper. Kind of sugar daddy lives in a camper. She was kind and loving, and most of all, she was a believer. We talked about God a lot. I especially liked the fact that she didn't give me a hard time for drinking so much. She drank too, and we soon realized we had the same problem. We were both very broken, and we used alcohol to numb our pain. And alcohol nearly destroyed us. She moved to Buffalo, and we were married here at Summit in 2017, but our drinking worsened. We tried quitting, but we found out we were codependent. And we knew something terrible would have to happen before we'd change. I went to a men's retreat here, put on by Summit, and I met a man named Daniel. He openly talked about his past, and he empathized with understanding to me. We started hanging out together, and he shared that how he was from a shattered past of drug and alcohol abuse, and that only through the power of Christ can we be healed and find recovery. And there's a ministry called Celebrate Recovery that leads you through those steps. I was desperate, and I attended CR in Sheridan with him the first time in November of 2017. I would attend whenever I made time. And I was starting to realize how the godly steps in CR could help us. I convinced Casey to come to CR, and we started our road to recovery. We strung some days together and managed to quit drinking for a few days at a time here or there. A couple weeks, a week, but we'd always slip back. Each time drinking more heavily. We hadn't hit rock bottom yet, where our desire to change was steadfast and unwavering. But that came in the form of a DUI. After a rough week, Casey left and she got a DUI. And she went to jail. And I was too drunk to help. We thought our marriage was over. But thank God he had different plans for us. I prayed and I asked God for clarity. And he spoke clearly to me. He told me to honor my wife, get her out of jail, and get sober. So that's what I did. I listened to the Lord. Ephesians 5:25 tells us, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Chapter 5, recovery and redemption. We decided to commit fully to our recovery, and we started attending Celebrate Recovery every Friday. We knew that God had given us a second chance, a chance for redemption, and we channeled our previous character flaws or defects into strengths. My fear of failure and her perfectionism were turned into a drive, a resolute drive for recovery. We worked the steps. We surrendered our lives. And we let him remove our character defects and the chains. Ephesians 1:7 tells us, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. We continued to go to Celebrate Recovery every Friday and soon found out how much work it would be to recover from a lifetime of hurts, habits, and hang-ups. We allowed God to work in us as we surrendered to his will for our lives. We stepped out of denial and embraced the changes God wanted to make in us. We made the decision to turn our lives and our wills over to the care of God. 1 John 5:18 tells us, we know that whoever is born of God does not keep on sinning, but whoever has been born of God guards himself, and the wicked one cannot touch him. CR changed everything for us. Through accountability partners, sponsors, step studies, and the community of CR, the brothers and sisters who are there rooting you on. God's healed us. He removed our desire to drink, and we are put on the road to recovery. I was blessed to have my wife with me through this, but CR stresses you don't have to do it alone. There's a very large support group there, praying for you, rooting you on, just listening. And of course, the Lord is always there, waiting for you to come close to him and lay your burdens at his feet so that he can heal you. James 4:10 tells us, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. I'd like to invite the worship team back up. So every Friday night, I get to see God's miracles. It's my favorite thing about CR. Getting to see people who shouldn't be alive. Getting to see lives restored. Getting to see people who have a spark and a joy for the Lord in their lives. Seeing marriages healed. And seeing people free from shame. I never imagined I would become any sort of leader, let alone a recovery ministry leader. But that's what happens when you surrender to God and you live out the 12th step by giving back what was freely given to you. Even my father and I were reconciled after I got sober. He showed up with nothing and in poor health. And thank God we were sober, because I would have never even let him in my house before that. And we enjoyed our last 2 years together with him. He came with us to church every Sunday. And just being here led him to the Lord. And he was saved. Yeah. Amen. Amen. It was a highlight of his week, and it's always ours. The gifts of recovery, these gifts that were given to me, are only possible through choosing a new lifestyle, one of recovery and sobriety. So if you or someone you know is struggling, be bold. Be brave. Come on Friday nights. Because freedom is possible. One day at a time is what we say. Sometimes it's one moment at a time. But it's possible. I say it's even highly probable if you stay on the godly steps that CR provides. Thank you for allowing me to share my story. It's actually his story.